Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 21 through 24. I love it when God kind of puts something together with music and sermon and people talking. It's good. And in verse 21 it says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the song. Thank you for our time of worship and our hearts being lifted and our focus being directed. Thank you for all who participate and all the leaders. And may we now focus on that text and Peter's sermon, the truth being declared. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1912, there was a, quote, perfect luxury liner built in England. Just a few days after it was completed, that luxury liner set out on its first voyage. It was dubbed by the New York newspapers and Boston newspapers and all up and down the coast in America and in England as the unsinkable ship. It was the luxury liner of all time, perfect in every way. It was so perfect, the people thought, that only half of the lifeboats needed was on the ship. People weren't paying attention that should have been paying attention to what was going on. And this ship is setting sail from New Hampton to America, and it's going through the North Atlantic, which is really icy cold water, which affects steel that's even been tempered like the steel on this ship. And lo and behold, this ship hits an iceberg and sinks in just a matter of minutes. What was deemed to be a perfect luxury liner was not so perfect. There were about 1,500 passengers who died. And that number varies, depends on who you read that wrote the article, but it's somewhere around 1,500. The last living gentleman died a few years back. He was 97. He was a baby that was taken out of the arms of a mother and given to someone in a lifeboat. He survived. Others didn't. I want to talk to you this morning about God's perfect plan of salvation. That perfect plan of salvation will never sink. It doesn't matter how many icebergs Satan puts in front of it, how many times he assaults it, how much the world talks about it. I'm telling you, it's perfect and it's not going to sink. And whoever puts their faith and trust in God's perfect plan of salvation will have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. We've sung about that this morning. We've rejoiced. Our hearts have been picked up about that. Perfect in every way. It's perfect in its scope. You know, he says here in this verse that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. There are clubs that are exclusive. You got to belong to it. You got to pay your dues. You got to have us meet certain requirements if you want to be a part of a club. You know, golf courses have clubs there. Bikers have clubs. I mean, you really got to live up to it if you're going to be on the biker club. You got to do some things that probably you don't want to do to be on the biker club, but they got them. And they got pep clubs, and they got all kinds of support clubs. They got clubs for individuals who've had a heart attack. They've got clubs for individuals who have gone through the loss of a spouse. They're exclusive. They don't include everybody. But I'm telling you, God has included everybody that will come to Christ. Jesus said, whomever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Ain't that great? Because that means if you go to Jesus for salvation, he'll receive you. He won't kick you out. I mean, he just won't do it. When you know you're a sinner, you're going to be saved if you go to him. There was a thief on the cross, Luke 23. Jesus saved him. There was a woman at the well in John 4. She found Christ. She pretty messed up, wasn't she? The thief on the cross was too. There was that tax collector. I mean, he cheats you out of your last dollar. Matthew, he came to Christ. The centurion, he had no doubt been cruel and mean to people at some point in time. He was saved. His own house. A self-righteous Pharisee named Paul. I mean, Paul was lit up with hatred toward Christ. He wanted to destroy the church and destroy anybody who was a follower of Christ. And on the road to Damascus, what happened? Oh, Jesus reached down, got a hold of him, saved him. A demon-possessed man in Mark 5, a demon-possessed girl. Acts 16, a wealthy female merchant. In Acts 16, Lydia. Everyone sitting here in these pews has a different background. Your upbringing was different. Maybe similar, but it was different. Your education was different. And what do I mean by that? Some of us didn't apply ourselves like we should have. Others did. So it's different. Some of you have different bank accounts than others. But guess what? God don't care. Because he's not looking at your education. He's not looking at your background. He's not looking at how you were raised. He's not looking at your bank account. What he's looking at is a heart that repents and comes to him and calls on Jesus as Lord and Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave what? $1 million? A billion? No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That only begotten is a uniqueness in the Greek. It means he gave himself. That whosoever, as you and me, can be saved. We don't have to perish. What a Savior. What a Lord. That scope includes you. It includes me. God has a perfect plan to save humanity. Not only is it perfect, it's pretty simple. There's nothing complicated about it. You become aware that you're a sinner and you don't measure up to God's standard. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I fall in the category of all. Do you? Yeah, you do. Every one of us are there. You know, we have different lives. We've done different things. Sin is sin. He doesn't talk about categories coming to Christ of your sin. He just calls sin, sin. And you repent of it and you come to Christ. You need to understand, and I think most of you do, that the wages of sin is death. It's not just physical death, it's spiritual death. That's eternity in hell, separated from God. Eternity is time removed. You exist, but time doesn't do anything. What a sad thing. But last part of 6:23, it says, but the gift of God is salvation in Jesus Christ. The gift. Jesus paid the full price for your sin and my sin. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet adventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At our worst, Jesus died for us. In our ugliness, Jesus died for us. Romans 10:9-10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have a perfect plan of salvation to give to the world. Its scope is that it includes all. All are sinners. All need Jesus. The truth of the matter is, if they'll repent of their sins and call on Christ as Lord and Savior, they can be saved. Verse 13 of that chapter 10 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe I read that earlier, didn't I? Peter said that in the first sermon preached. He said, verse 21, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, two apostles make that declaration. Only one had to make it to be true, but two made it. God will save whoever will call on him. And folks, it's wonderful. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't go around patting yourself on the back and say, I'm in the in group. I made it. I'm one of the Jesus followers, man. Well, I'm doing good. What about you? Are you sure you're in? That kind of thing. Can't do it. It's a gift. It's by grace. His mercy. He showed it to us. He didn't have to. But because he loves us, he's willing to do it. And he did. The scope, the simplicity points to the perfect plan. But not only that, the substance. He said, you'll be saved. To be saved means you are delivered from the wrath of God. Listen to Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We have forgiveness of our sin. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. When it's under the blood of Christ, you wash clean. The Bible says he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. The east and west never meet. Our sins are removed for eternity. I love an old Southern gospel song. It says, one of the phrases, what sins you talking about? I put them under the blood of Christ. What are you talking about, sins? Why are you remembering my past? Why are you remembering what I did? Why are you remembering what I said? I mean, all of that's under the blood of Christ. And they're all blotted out by his blood. I have a clean slate. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, God looked at him and saw you. All your sins are being dealt with on the cross. Today, when you have faith in Christ and you've been born again from above, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Your sins were imputed to Christ on the cross. But as you walk as a follower of Christ, Christ's righteousness is imputed to you. Simply means your sins were put on his account to pay, and his righteousness is put on your account for good. What a Savior! What a God! You could look at my history and you say, man, he'd done some dumb things. He done some things he shouldn't have done. He should have known better. And you're right. But let me tell you something. I'm not half as bad as you think I am. I'm 10 times worse than what you think I am. I know every thought I've had. Jesus said, if you hateth your brother, that's murder. There's a few people I'd like to murder. Amen. Now, come on now. I know your mind. I know you're human. I know who you are. You get cut off by that dude at Walmart. That old woman just backs right out in front of you and almost hits you, and you honk the horn. She just keeps coming because she can't hear. And you're thinking, well, she don't need a driver's license. I ought to smack her. Sometimes we're patient. Sometimes we're not. God knows our thoughts. I know my thoughts. You know your thoughts. And as a boy growing up, I thought, I wonder how far I can go and get away with it. Sometimes I broke the envelope. That wasn't a good thing. But here's what's good. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God's still working on me. I mean, he really is. He's not done with old Dan yet. He will be one of these days, but not yet. 2,000 years ago, Peter preached this sermon, Death, Burial, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that whosoever would call on Christ as Savior could be saved. That day, 3,000 people came to Christ. Probably the greatest harvest in one day ever. This week, on Monday, I saw 10 come to Christ. On Thursday, I saw 4. That's 14 in one week. If only one had come to Christ, it had been worth it. God gives you and me a perfect plan of salvation. Now, sometimes we mess up that perfect plan when we give it because we don't give the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we don't tell them they got to repent of their sin. I used to, when I went to these places, to ask people to come to Christ and preach, I would lead them in a prayer. And then one day, and I just feel it was God, it dawned on me, they're praying my prayer, not their prayer. You see, it's got to come from their heart. Most gospel tracts have a prayer in it. Well, they need to say their own prayer from the heart. And I just give them the ABCs. Admit that they can't save themselves. Admit that they need Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they're a sinner. Believe that he died on the cross for you. Believe that when you call on him, he will save you. Confess your sin and confess him as Lord and Savior. Give him your life from your heart. And I let him pray now. And God has used that tremendously in touching people and touching lives. Well, we got a perfect plan. You see, when God gave the church the commission, and we talked about it last week, we're to go and preach and teach and do everything. He didn't say entertain. He didn't say think up this thing or that thing. And I talked about some of the entertainment that churches do. I hadn't found one that has burlesque yet, but I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Just saying, that's how wicked churches are sometimes. He made sure we had what we needed to do what he asked us to do. He gave us the Holy Spirit to do through us and convict them, but he gave us a perfect plan to tell them about. What a Savior. What a God. Now, I'm pretty sure everybody here today is giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ. But if you haven't, I do not know of a better time than to do it today. Sometimes people give lip service and it doesn't just come from their heart. I'm not talking about that muscle that beats in there, the blood that goes through your body. I'm talking about your spiritual heart that makes you who you are. Have you given that to Jesus Christ? Well, if not, you can do it today. Admit you can't save yourself. Admit you need him. Believe he died for you and confess. ABC. God works through that to redeem you from above. Let's pray. Father, you know our needs. You know every heart here. You know every life here. And Lord, you have your will and you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.